Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome to DSC's Campfires with Larry Wysoon, a unique blend of hunting, fishing, wildlife conservation, and the outdoor lifestyle. DSC's Campfires is brought to you by DSC, Conservation, Education, and Hunter Advocacy, Hornady, Accurate, Deadly, Dependable, Trigicon, Brilliant Aiming Solutions, Taurus, Award-Winning Pistols and Revolvers, Mossberg, American Built, American Strong, Habit, Our Gear, Your Adventure.
Welcome to another episode of DSC's Campfires, and today I have two very special guests. We're happening to be in a bear camp in the far north, and if you see this in a video version of it, I'm sure you will recognize both of them very quickly, Mr. Jerry and Ms. Kay Michaluk. And we are so thrilled to finally spend time. I'm thrilled to spend time with you. I've admired you guys for a long, long time. Ms. Kay, I knew your dad, Mr. Jimmy Clark, and I used to get invited to the Outstanding American Handgunner Award thing. Yep. And I may have met you there if you were one of those, because I remember one year it seemed to me like you might have been there.
Well, I was at the one that where my father won, so in Shreveport.
Yep. Yes, ma'am. Yep. I think I was there at that one. I knew there was something familiar, but we've been talking about all kinds of different things, and everybody knows y'all are unbelievable shots with whatever you grab a hold of, including the slingshot I found out while we were here as well. Jerry's all real happy right now. But I want to talk a little bit about the early years. Now, Ms. Kay, I want you to join in this in discussion of, have you ever seen a coot fly during the daytime?
I've never thought about it.
See, you're like me, right?
I would say yes, but I don't know. I've seen coots fly, and it wouldn't have been at night, would it?
You see them when you flush them, they'll fly to a little bit.
Right.
But you'll never be sitting calling ducks, and next thing you know, a flock of coots will come in. Just doesn't happen. They seem to appear out of the water overnight. Now, I've been in hunting locations day after day, and one day you show up and there's coots on the water, and next day they might not be there, but you never see a flock of coots coming in. You jump them, push pull on your P-Rog or something, or with a boat passing down a canal or something, but they have to come in at night.
That's the only thing we can come up with.
Unless they just come out of the water. I mean, they're hiding.
You asked me the question, and I got thinking about it. I've trapped a lot of ducks. I've shot a lot of ducks as far as research is concerned, and a little bit on the hunting side of it. And I'd never seen a coot fly other than when it was flushed or clutched. But I've seen a lot of coots on the water.
Okay.
That's one of my, I always ask the simple questions. you ever see a coot? No, I don't think I've ever seen one. I never gave it much mind.
It's amazing the things that you can think about, you know. And of course, we're sitting here in a bear camp, and you spend about 8 hours sitting by yourself.
Yeah.
And you get to reflect on a lot of different things. You get to think about a lot of different things. And Jerry's been very kind in asking some very most interesting questions that, you know, I've told people over the years. I've made my living teaching people what they already knew. And basically, kind of what, you know, there are things that I've seen, and we've talked about guns, of course, as well, too, that I've done, but I never really thought about why I did those kind of things. Now, you both grew up in Louisiana, right?
Yes.
Yep.
different parts of Louisiana.
Different parts.
Yeah. I'm a Yankee as far as Jerry's concerned. Yeah.
I was South Louisiana. I was South I-10.
Miss Kay, tell me about when you were a little girl, if you don't mind. Were you into shooting and hunting and all those kind of things as well?
I was definitely into shooting.
Yes.
I mean, born into it, so... Even when I wasn't shooting, of course, my father was shooting and selling guns. So, I mean, I was raised on the range, you know.
Right.
Every weekend was spent on the range at a competition or whatever with him. Definitely shooting from a very young age at competitions. But really, the hunting didn't come in until later, until I went off to college, actually. And of course, I was born in 57, so, you know, in the 60s. And I had an older brother, and, of course... my father was an avid hunter, and so he and my brother would go, but I would get left behind. So, at one point when I did start hunting, my dad came to me and he said, "You know, I want to apologize to you." He said, "It just didn't even occur to me to take a little girl." He said, true statement here. He said, "I didn't know what to do with a little girl in the hunting camp with a bunch of guys." Now I would have tried harder. So anyway, I said, "No problem." He did make me a good shot for when I did start hunting.
I was very fortunate. My mother hunted, and we had a little camp probably a quarter mile behind the house, and when deer season started, we just kind of moved there. Yeah. We were in the chicken business, hog business, cattle business, all those other kind of things. But, So I was always around women who hunted, and just always assumed that, you know, most women hunted. But there was the more I talked to people of that era that we're talking about, there were not that many ladies that were going hunting or going to hunting camp. A lot of times that was a manly thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, he made up part in many other ways. So
Jerry, what about you?
Well, I was in South Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
You know, we were a couple of miles from a good, really good swamp. So I spent a lot of time in the swamp. That was, to me, was fun. Just going out and just doing things, looking to see where the coots come from. Where do these coots come from? just out in the woods. Of course, in the swamp, there's so much to do. Frog, you could hunt squirrel, ducks, deer. And it was right there, easy access and really good swamp. And to me, it was just a lot of fun just being in there. Go out in the middle of the night, there's so much going on in the swamp. I think per square foot, swamp has to have more diversity, wildlife, just everything is there.
I don't think you could say differently. I mean,
everything
exactly
from a leech
right.
to a spider to a raccoon, you can think of it as something that's going to be there. Mink, otter, muskrat.
Yes, sir.
Deer. I mean, just, you're going to find a turtle, you're going to find snakes. It's just, to me, alligators and snakes were like, let's go play with them. Let's go do something.
What about bullfrogs?
We frogged a lot. That was a lot of fun.
How did y'all do it? Because I want to know.
We just caught them by hand.
By hand.
Yeah, you'd either walk them up or get in a pirog and push pole and catch them. And we had these little motorized pirogs.
Oh, my goodness.
And what you do, we built one with a square back. It had a direct drive, like an 8-horsepower Briggs with a little skeg and a steering, a little cable steering, and you could catch them out of that. And then we modernized with an airboat. It was like, whoa. Don't even get your feet wet. You know, you lay over the front. It was like a gentleman's game. The frogs caught a lot. They didn't like the airboat. We hit them pretty hard.
Now, once you got the frogs, how did y'all, I know you ate them.
Oh, yeah.
How did y'all do them?
We usually fried them, but then I started baking them. In the oven.
Baking them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I like them better baking them, yeah.
I've eaten a lot of fried, and I don't know that
I've
ever
we saved the whole frog. Just cut the head, you know?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Front legs, the belly, and the back. And you just put a little garlic powder and onion powder, a little salt and pepper, and a little butter. Put them in a tray about 180 degrees, 200 degrees. And flip them over once or twice, about 35 minutes, and they're real tender. You can eat more of the frog because it's softer.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so it's, doesn't have that that grease associated with it.
Right.
So I'm healthy, you know.
I've noticed you eating very healthy here in bear camp. And I've heard all kinds of stories about, you see what Gary took to the stand with him today?
I'm trashing out pretty good here. This is my trash out time. So. What goes on in camp stays at camp.
Absolutely. Yeah. It goes no farther than what this.
No.
When we get on the bus tomorrow, it's going to be a totally different.
The Skittles and the candy bars and all that. We're not talking about it.
Let's talk a little bit about you hunted deer and all those kind of things. Tell me about, there used to be a way to hunt deer in Louisiana that I don't guess we get to do anymore now, right?
Hunting with dogs?
With dogs, yes.
Yeah. I never was on a dog hunt.
Oh, okay. I grew up
all
right
the hunting
now,
camps around there were dog.
Yes, sir.
The ones I shot were either we were push bowling and jumped them up, or we were on a duck hunt and came across one. Always kept them buckshot on the belt in case you jump one.
Yes, sir.
But I never really set up a blind or a stand just to hunt deer. It was mostly when you came across some kind of an opportunity.
Yes, sir.
So my first spike I ever killed was found a good spot. I'm in my little P-rog there, and I'm pulling along. Some ducks were, so you just step on the side of the boat, and you sink it. And you just stand there, and I was calling, and he came to me, that little spike, and put the buckshot in.
Oh, my goodness.
It was good. I had a duck. I had 10 ducks and a deer. I was like, oh, look at me.
that was a good day's hunt, by the way.
Yeah. First time I actually had a job, full-time job. I had a little vacation. I had 2 weeks, and I was catching like 15 bass. Shooting 10 ducks, go out in the morning in that swamp and catch them a little bass, and 15 of these guys, and then 10 ducks. It was like I was in heaven. This is like really good stuff here.
And it was.
It was a lot of fun. I wish I could go back. I would have. What I find in life, sometimes you get accustomed to things, and you don't realize how good it is.
Yes, sir.
And you take it for granted. Then when you miss it and it doesn't happen anymore, you go like, man, I should have did that till I couldn't stand it. And I tried to do that, but then you got to work every once in a while. and shoot handguns.
And shoot just a little bit. Well, Miss Kay, I know how you got into shooting. It was with your dad. There was never, like you said, it was a genetic thing as much as anything. Mm-hmm. Jerry, you obviously shot a lot too when you were young. I know we talked about shooting BB guns.
Yeah.
And finally getting 22 shells. My God.
What am I going to do with this?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, go to Western Auto and buy a 50-pack of, Federal for a dollar.
Yes, sir.
So you have to plan out, I'm going to go to a local dump, and what am I going to do with it? I'm going to shoot so many washing machines, so many ketchup bottles or whatever.
Yeah.
No, but, back home, the local, we didn't have a range. Every little town had an open dump, and that's where most people went sighting rifles or something, We just... It sounds pretty trashy, but it's the way it was.
It was. It was the same way where I grew up. During the fall and winter time, we hunted deer, and although we didn't have a whole lot of them, but we hunted, and then we'd hunt once squirrel season came along, we hunted squirrel. But also, we had beagles. My dad ran hounds every night that we could. My dad was running his coon hounds, and on a Sunday afternoon, our big deal was go rabbit hunting with beagles kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And when during the summertime we couldn't do that, there were so many old homesteads around that area where I grew up, and they all had all kinds of dumps with all kinds of old, now look at it, probably have shot thousands and thousands of dollars worth of bottles. That was our big deal. And set up, we'd dig through those things, set up bottles, and have little competitions to break the one, the smallest one.
Shot a lot of bottles. That was part of the deal,
It was part of the deal. It truly was part of the deal. Let's talk a little bit about the bear hunt. Both of you, this is your first bear hunt, right?
This is my third, actually.
Third, okay.
So we did a little hunt in Minnesota, and I got a small bear, 175 pounds, or something
ma'am.
Like that. I think Jerry got skunked on that one.
Yeah, I sat in the stand and never saw a thing.
You started thinking,
why cooch don't fly in the daytime?
And then we went to Alaska and had a great time. No success, but just a great time, out of a boat or out of Homer.
Didn't see anything, but
great country to be in. And
that is so pretty. I've done some of those boat hunts, and they're absolutely beautiful.
It was a great adventure, but an unsuccessful hunt. And so, yeah, when we came here, that first day I sat in the stand, I was surrounded by bear for 6 hours. And
oh, my goodness.
I was amazed. So, quite an experience. This has been an eye-opener. Really, I've never seen this many bears in my life.
And you took a bear.
Yes, yeah, I took a pretty good one. Yeah,
I'm jealous. I got bear envy.
I was gonna say,
you're not the only one.
I don't have an eye for bear, obviously, but that one looked pretty good. I didn't think he was gonna come up 7'7", but he was quite a
massive
linebacker of a bear.
They're measured here from the tip of the nose, and tip of the tail, and the square bear. You do that, and then you measure from tip of claw to tip of claw. That bear that you shot was just huge.
Yep.
He was a sharp bear, but the head on that thing is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a big old deep crease down that shows all those heavy muscles.
Yep.
I'll be very open with you. That's really nice, and there was a bigger bear killed. But if that bear that you shot and any of the other bears out there, I'd have shot the one that you shot. That
to me
is just
agree.
That epitome of just of a brute of a bear. I could see him, you know, just kind of waddling as he walks in kind of thing.
Yep, he did. Yep. And I've seen a couple of more and now they all look like
smaller.
Little skinny neck on that bear.
Yeah, you're a bear.
And then I showed Sean the picture. He said, "Oh, no, that's a shooter." I went, no.
Yeah, Deer and I, when you came in, we looked at that bear, and Deer said, "That bear doesn't have a neck." And he didn't. He just looked like he went from his jaws to his shoulder.
Looked like a beaver.
Yes, sir.
You know, a beaver doesn't have a neck. It just got a head stuck on a body.
Right, exactly.
It's like the same thing. That big head was stuck on his shoulders, and that was it. I think, I'm jealous.
I am, too. I'll be very open about it. That's one of the better bear I've ever seen killed. Yeah. And I've been around a lot of bear hunts in the past.
Well, I think he just went up a few steps in my estimation then. one of the better ones you've seen.
And that's no smoke, no BS, or any of that other
one. He's by far the best one I've seen.
Oh, my goodness. And Jerry, you hunted kind of like, I did take a bear a little bit earlier, but you hunted a lot before you took your bear.
Yeah, I was getting nervous. Saw a lot of little ones. And, little ones, they were still good bears. From what I'm seeing and what I was told, I just had fun watching them.
Yeah.
If I would not have shot the whole trip, I'd be happy going home just thinking about all the footage I have on my phone and just seeing them interact with each other and how much they wanted to climb up that tree with me. And I'm going, don't do that.
Well, thank you for finding a slingshot.
Yeah, we're both armed with slingshots.
Jerry found a slingshot and started just picking up rocks. Next thing I know, he's shooting at a tree. Well, and then I found one, and I convinced myself that I needed to take it. I think it was you that kind of convinced me to take it, and it came in very handy because
you had
a bear that came up a tree to me twice, hit him once with a 2x4. Second time, I shot him with that slingshot at about 2 feet and hit him right on the nose, knocked him off out of the tree stand with me. So.
That might be a record. Somewhere.
I'm going to try to, I'm going to try to take that slingshot home with me.
Have it mounted.
Yeah. Or at least take it so I've got it next time I get ready to go bear hunting.
Yeah.
Tell us about the one that you shot and what ammo, of course, but what gun and that kind of thing.
Well, it was a Mossberg Patriot rifle. Am I saying that? Patriot rifle, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and it was in the new 7 PRC cartridge.
Yes, sir.
I think it's a 173 grain.
It's either 173 or 175. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's their new EODX bullet.
Yes, sir.
And it did quite a job. I made a good shot behind the shoulder. It went through the heart. Bear didn't go 15 yards.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it was good. Did exactly what it was supposed to do. Penetrated completely through. Bear didn't like it at all. And you hunted. One thing I don't want to ever do is wound something. And I was really amazed at the terminal effect and how fast that thing didn't go. I mean, the shot made a flip, and that ran, it was over, I would say, in 10 seconds.
Yes, sir.
So I don't know if I could ask for anything better.
No, you can't. I'll use the same thing, same gun, same load, everything. The bear I shot was about right 10, 12 yards at the very most. I hit him right kind of where you did, heart and lung, and he spun, and I like to shoot. So I worked that bolt as fast as I could as he turned. And all he was already going down, but it's also hoping that I could recover a bullet, which we were able to do because I really wanted to see that bullet travels about 3,000 feet per second leaving the muzzle. I wanted to see what it would do at 10 to 12 yards. I've seen what they do at longer range, and I got the same performance out of that bullet at 10 yards as if it had been out there, you know, 150 yards more. So I was really impressed with that.
What's amazing to me, you take that rifle, when I shot it at home, the furthest range we have at like 430 yards.
Yes, sir.
And I was making, I could keep them in a, on that steel silhouette there, the head box about this big. And if I, you know, wind's not blowing, I could keep them in that steel on that head box at 430 yards out of a box stock, unaccurized gun with good ammunition. That's what something that really amazes me, having started shooting from in the 70s or 60s, was the accuracy. You can just buy a gun, get a box of ammo, and this thing is going to be wicked good. You don't have to play with it. Just put it together, put a good optic on it, good triggers, good ammunition. It just, to me, it's just amazing. You could buy so much good in one little, without working for it.
Exactly.
You don't have to tinker with it, have to tune it, and just put it.
And
put,
with the Mossberg, I mean, it's got a fabulous trigger, you know, and it's, of course, very accurate as well, too. Now, Ms. K used I can't remember what caliber you used.
But the 450 large, Bushmaster.
A 450 Bushmaster.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it did the same thing to your bear, too, didn't it?
Absolutely. He flipped over backwards, and that was, and he was done. So.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And that's all, when I hunt, that's meant the shot.
Yes, ma'am. That,
it's all about the shot that for me. And I'm pretty patient, so I waited for him. He gave me the perfect shot. And then,
for the lights perfect
out.
Bear.
Lights out. Yep.
Seriously, I'm coming back to that. Your bear is by far, to me, the best bear that's been taken and the best bear I've seen in the woods here.
Now I got to live with that.
we're coming up, we're going, we each have two tags.
Right.
And I said, so what are we going to do if we kill four bear? What are we going to do with all that, you know? And so we said, okay, well, whoever has the biggest headed bear, you know, we're going to get that European mount or something. So I'm like, so far, it's going to be my bear.
You know, we have a rule at our house.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you about a rule we have.
Yes.
You know, we all three competed, Lynn and I and Kate, mm-hmm. and we travel together, competitions and what have you. So we had this 30-minute rule. I don't know if you ever heard of it. You can win a world championship. You got 30 minutes. We say go, and you can brag, you can pout, you can do what you want.
You can guess.
And after 30 minutes, I won't hear it.
No, I don't hear you.
If you go to a world match and you get DQ'd or you didn't finish or you didn't do well, you got 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
You can drag your lip in the ground. We're going to listen to you. You can bawl and be mad or whatever. But after that 30 minutes.
Okay. That's a good rule. I'll tell you what.
It works good.
I'm hoping some of these people that are listening.
Well, we had to have that rule because we travel together and compete together.
Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, when somebody had a bad match.
They
pull the whole trip down. So, yeah. Okay.
We don't want to hear it.
Yep. 30 minutes is up. Yep.
Makes sense, though.
So, how long y'all been married?
30 minutes. I mean,
this is a trick question for both of us. 95. Okay. So,
92.
30, 33. 92. That's when, 95 is when Lena was born. So, Jerry doesn't have to worry about getting in trouble for not remembering anniversaries because I don't remember them either. So,
we got 31. Married. We got married on Jim Sr.'s birthday.
Yes.
Cool.
In 92, yes.
Yep.
So 31 years.
I mean, okay. That's fantastic. Y'all have been together in so many different ways since then, haven't you? As you just mentioned, with traveling different matches.
Probably not for every couple, but yeah, we traveled everywhere together and so basically worked together.
Right.
To be married and do a business together and then compete together and basically against one another, and it can be a lot of so you have to have that 30-minute rule.
I can see that, yes.
You know, but really, if I didn't take a bear and Kay had a great one, that's spectacular. I'm sure if I took the biggest bear and Kay didn't shoot, you'd be just as happy. So it's I don't know if I'd be.
Yeah, because he knows what's his is mine. So. I remind him of that all the time.
And vice versa, too.
No, it's been good. Been really good. That's one thing I enjoyed about competing And now that Kate doesn't compete anymore and Lena's off on her own, to me to go to a match by myself, it gets to be really long.
Yes.
If you got a match that's say like a world match that's 5 days and you shoot 7 stages a day and that's all you're doing, and it's just, man, mentally it can be a oof. But we had, when we were shooting together as a family, you know, we could come back and she could relate and say, you know, I did this over here, and
so you could,
you know, get another game, get another head plan going. But when you're by yourself, you kind of feed off of your own thoughts and training, and it's just not as fun to be just go out. It almost becomes a job instead of having fun, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a different mental game, I would say, when you shoot and compete by yourself.
I think that what I've always enjoyed team events, and we basically as a family we're a team, even though each one of us shot for a different gun company,
right,
and different people.
Yeah.
But we kind of approached it as a team, and so which makes it, you know, get a little intel if somebody.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's always made it more fun as a group. Most things
and
are.
And I can see shooting for different companies, that would be even more interesting, you know, than it,
yeah,
say, I'm going to pick a name that you don't shoot for, like Crossman.
Yeah.
You know, but everybody shot, you know, Crossman, whatever that might be.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. Pellet gun, BB guns.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That was never any.
The brand loyalty thing
there
is, I guess, part of the job. We all get associated with different companies, but fortunately, I'm associated with just who I want to be,
mm-hmm,
which to me is a very much a plus. I don't have to represent anything I don't want to, and I've been fortunate in that aspect. That's my career started as a professional. You know, I had guys, you know, tell me, you know, how do you get this and that? A lot of times it's just standing in the right place at the right time, having married into the Clark family.
That wasn't a bad move at all.
It wasn't. And, you know, Jim Sr. was well known, but
yes.
you make your own mark.
You do, yes.
And I got to, he introduced me to a lot of, like Guy Hogue from Hogue Grips,
mm-hmm,
when he was around, and just so many other, Bill Jordan. I got to meet Rex Applegate. You know, all the guys,
sir,
I looked, you know, up to when I was a kid, and had a chance to hang out with them a little bit and get some stories from them. It's been an interesting experience.
I was doing somebody the other day, and I was very fortunate. I knew Mr. Bill as well too. We were on staff together at Shooting Times, and met Rex Applegate, and of course your dad, and, mm-hmm, and several of that era.
Yep.
And a lot of those guys are characters. and I mean that in a very positive way.
Yeah.
But they probably couldn't, in today's world that we live in, I'm not sure they could be the character that they were back then. Times have changed. But,
yes,
you know, I don't see those kind of people anymore. I really miss being around. Occasionally you run across, mm-hmm, some of the newer guys, and they got a personality, mm-hmm, and they want to talk and they want to visit. But most of them are sitting around, even in camp, you know, working on phones the whole time. So,
but that era that you're talking about is, for one thing, you know, World War II and Korea veterans.
Yeah.
Nobody has the stories they had.
No, you're exactly right.
Are the, what's, I don't know
really
what the word is.
Really the background expertise. We were sitting around earlier talking about different shooting type of things, and I shoot both left and right-handed. I shoot right-handed, mm-hmm, naturally to start with. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in a deer stand and I was using my dad's gun, and I was sitting against the oak tree. I couldn't come around far enough to shoot that deer right-handed. So when that hunt morning was over, I went and got my .22 and I taught myself how to shoot left and right-handed. And I shoot, mm-hmm, off of sticks all the time. And when I'm in the woods hunting, I'm looking for one eye with the animal, the other eye I'm looking where can I get a good solid rest if I need one, kind of thing. And I don't see that in so many of these people these days.
Well, you know? That's what, you know, that's what we talked about practicality when you shoot.
Yes, sir.
You know, having a BB gun when you're the kid, you shot at just about every position you could imagine.
Yes.
And then, you know what I mean? Bicycle, you're doing whatever, you know, you're doing this, you're doing that. So you kind of learn. You're learning on the job. You might not think about it, but you were learning on the job from the first time you picked it up.
Yes, sir.
So by the time you got old enough to actually hunt with a bigger gun. You had some field experience on marksmanship.
Right.
And how to shoot it well. That's one thing about practical shooting, like when we compete in three-gun matches, how things evolved with the longer handguards on AR, so you could use props quicker and more flexible in your positions on how to shoot. And that really advanced marksmanship training. But it also bleeds into the military. A lot of the top competitors are also trainers.
Yes, sir.
So what you see these guys playing in the field actually gets right into the upper levels of the military and law enforcement as training aids to help them in the field. Same thing with PRS, you know, with all the guys say, well, these guys are gaming, they got this tripod and they got these bags. But you see that bleeds right into the military also. These guys come in, they compete and they learn. So they have better equipment.
Yes, sir.
So it really contributes to the guys who put everything on the line to get these guys back in the same shape that they went. So our little silliness of shooting in the dump when we were kids actually goes to every level. Mm-hmm. When you actually look at it, what we were playing gets put into use elsewhere.
Right.
It might not seem that way, but it has advanced shooting actual discipline.
Yes,
more than a target discipline. It's an overall practical use of a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
And
the action shooting sports changed. Of course, I was raised in bullseye, you know. So I had the accuracy.
Right.
It wasn't until I was in my 30s till I was introduced to action.
Yes, ma'am.
Shooting, you know, where there's movement and you run. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is much more fun than standing there, have 5 minutes to shoot 5 shots on those silhouette targets out there. And I'm like, okay. And sometimes I would run out of time.
Yes, ma'am.
Besides, bullseye is very hard.
Yeah.
It is extremely hard. My hat is off to every bullseye competitor that ever competed. That if there's ever a mental game, bullseye shooting, if you show up weak in the brain, it's going to look like it on the paper.
It's going to look the same way. Yeah.
Totally different discipline.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Fun, though. It's amazing how guys say, well, you shoot, and they expect you to know everything about every different discipline. But there's so much difference between action shooting and bullseye and field shooting and hunting and target rifle. I mean, the only thing similar, you pull in a trigger and something comes out the barrel. That's the only thing similar. Everything else is totally different. The application, the mindset.
But cross training between all those is a good idea.
It is.
Yes.
It gives you
that. Darn sure. So, yes.
Point shooting. Learn how to point shoot. Mm-hmm. Instinctive shooting. Point shooting. Aim fire. Rapid fire. Slow fire. Mm-hmm. It's got to have a concept of all that. And when you have a BB gun as a kid, you actually start learning that. You might not realize it, but you've been exposed to all that to some level of application.
We got to, unfortunately, have to wrap this thing up here just a little bit because I'm going to run out of battery. Going into the future, where do you see either of you, what do you see in the future for you for the next several years?
Lots of hunting, lots of travel.
Lots of hunting, lots of travel.
Yep. Hopefully I'm traveling and get to pull a trigger at the end of it. But either way, travel and hunting is for me.
Well, October 7th, I've got a Guinness Book of Records attempt.
Oh, really?
Yep. I'm going to be at the Smith & Wesson Grand Opening in Tennessee on their new manufacturing facility.
Yes, sir, right.
So I want to do a Guinness Book of Records. I've never had a chance. Guinness wouldn't recognize speed shooting. And then here recently, they did. So I want to post a revolver record on a plate rack. So we're building a special gun for it, and I'm going to start training really hard. And it'll probably be my last hurrah, and then I'm going to start traveling more with Kay and doing some fun stuff and do some more hunting.
And do some more
hunting. Yeah, when I was a kid, that's what we did. You know, that's what actually got me into pistol shooting. We'd hunt, and then the season would be over. You put your guns in, and everything's quiet. I mean, I got to do something.
Yeah.
You know, so then I met a guy, Ben Ashmore. He was a contractor working on the Mississippi River on one of the plants. And he was shooting a Swenson 45 at a piece of steel on a stick. It was like the most amazing thing I ever saw. The guy drawing a 45 and he's shooting rapid fire. Super nice guy. He introduced me into action shooting. And that was 1976. So here I am still shooting at a piece of steel on a stick.
But you're doing it a lot faster.
I'm doing it a little faster. Maybe a little bit more professional, but still had as much fun back when I couldn't hit it as when I could hit it, you know. So that's where I'm at.
So what are the what's the date on that? When are you doing that?
October 7th.
October 7th.
Yep.
I'll be watching.
So I got to burn up a lot of ammo between now and then. It's going to be fun.
Well, I see you got a big H on your chest. I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
They make some every day.
They do make a little bit of ammo. They're willing to share. That's what I say. You know, I'm very fortunate to have really good sponsors. And I've burned a lot of ammo in my time.
Yes, sir. I can't even imagine the total numbers.
And I've made my own shot back in the day. People think as a pro, you just get this truck, you know, backing in, but it's not that. I spent a lot of time loading, and takes a lot. Takes a lot of input from a lot of good sponsors, and it's just been fun to do that.
I think that's one of the things. I've been very fortunate and blessed over the years. I've never dealt with a sponsor that I would not have used anyway.
Yep.
I mean, and of course, I've been dealing with Hornady for a long, long time as well, too, and several of the others. And that's one of the things I really appreciate is that with you, particularly, and both of you, you use what you believe in, and you use it, and you know how to use it.
Tell you a little story before we got a moment.
Okay.
We're at the SHOT Show, and I'm walking through an aisle, and Steve Hornady come by, and he saw me, and he hollered down, "Hey, come see him. I want to show you something." He's excited.
Yes.
And he opens his wallet and he pulls his target group out. They were shot in the test range. It was like 10 shots at 200, about this big. And he had this big smile on his face. So that's how driven they are still.
Yes.
And they make, you know, for him to be excited about a group. Now, think out of the millions and millions of rounds they make, he's still excited about, you know, he did something, you know, get the next level. So it was kind of cool. I always find that to be a judge of one's true heart.
I totally agree.
You know, and he was excited to show a group, and that means that their product is a reflection of that. That's I thought that it was exciting.
It is. And it speaks very highly of him and the company.
And
all the people.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So small things. You catch people, that's what they do.
Yes, sir.
It's in his heart. Their show.
Yes, sir. It's like asking a Texan when he's in Africa, where are you from? You know, he's never from USA or any place like Texas.
I'm from Texas.
Different, but still kind of long. So
the same way. Yep.
And before we get away from it, I understand some of your folks originally came from not very far from where I grew up as well. Either.
Yeah. Well, out of Texas. I was born in Freeport, but my dad was born in Damon, Texas.
Damon, yes, sir.
Yep.
That's cool. Well, I knew there had to be something.
Yeah,
really
he was raised.
Y'all were neighbors.
This guy. Yeah. If somebody wants to get in touch with y'all, what's the best way to do, or do you want them to get in touch with you? You know, sometimes I don't want people. That's not true. I always want to get in touch with them, but I want to get in touch with me through a way that I can respond to them.
Yeah, well, we have a website, of course, at mitchellick.com. But, of course, that's mostly for sales of stuff, you know, of a few products that we carry. But if you have questions, if you have something specific you would like to ask, you can always just, you know, kind of shoot the email there. I'll watch it. And
yes, ma'am.
Now don't ask, you know, how do I get as fast as you, Jerry? Tell me, can you write me a letter on that? Because
can you bring me up to speed in a day?
Yeah. We get quite a few of those. I'm sorry. About 100 volumes of a book there.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, ma'am. That'd be a start on it, I think. Yeah, it probably wouldn't even get you to
But anyway, give me a try. Sales at MitchellLick.com, and I answer them.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I want to tell y'all both at what a thrill and honor it has been to share a camp with y'all and spend time actually visiting instead of just kind of waving to somebody going down the aisle.
Going through the show.
I will, in closing, I do want to say one thing. I've been very fortunate to sign autographs at the Hornady table when Hornady is very kind about giving away caps.
Yeah.
I've learned something about Jerry. Jerry signs his signature every bit as fast as what he shoots. I've got one of them done and I can barely read my own handwriting, and Jerry's got 8 or 10 of them that done at the same time. So
keeps you going.
Well, again, thank y'all so very much for joining us here around the DSC campfire, and I can't wait for the next opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back here next week with I'm not sure who, but we're gonna have to play one heck of a game to come up with two people like these two here. So give us a try and we'll do our best.
DSC's Campfires has also been brought to you by the Crown Bar in the Grange in Round Top, Texas, Texas Wildlife Association, Double Nickel Taxidermy, H3 Whitetail Solutions, and Burnham Brothers Game Calls.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV. In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.